When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, this is Rachel on Recover. We're back with a special guest. She's going to tell us a little bit about herself. She's a nutritionist, and her name's Christy. Tell us some things about yourself.
Thanks, Rachel, and very nice to be here with you today. Like you said, I'm Christy, and I am a registered dietitian nutritionist, and I practice out of Phoenix, Arizona. In the hot desert, and I've been practicing as a dietitian now for about 12 years, and mostly within the field of public health and public health nutrition, as well as worksite wellness I've focused on. But I'm currently practicing out of the local health department here in Phoenix, Arizona, as well as working on my own private practice.
What got you into nutrition?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Rachel. So what got me into nutrition is more of a personal journey. And it goes way back to childhood, to be honest, but where it started, like, kind of getting into my head and, like, you know, focusing on health and nutrition was in my high school years. Because before I started, you know, this focus, or before I got into it, I was eating in a way that was not nourishing to my body or brain. For example, Mountain Dew was my breakfast, and a Rice Krispie bar was my breakfast, and I, you know, didn't associate the two. Like, well, then why am I not feeling good, you know, later on in the day, or why do I not have a lot of energy, or why, you know, do my moods maybe go up and, you know, down, or do I feel, you know, hangry, as they say, which I didn't have a word for it back then. But nonetheless, I got into just reading, you know, reading. And it was just at that same time where I, you know, was getting really into it, that I also was going to college, and I didn't know necessarily what I wanted to major in. So I'm like, you know, this has become a passion for mine. Let me take this route. And then, you know, the rest is history. And it finally led to me to, you know, led me to where I am today.
What do you do as a registered dietitian with nutrition, as dietitian nutritionist?
Sure.
It
is a tongue twister, and I'm sorry that it's kind of tongue twisting, if you will. But what do I, do? So I do a lot of things, but kind of, like, just sum it up. My primary focus is on working with other dietitians and other nutritionists to support the development and implementation of trauma-informed care within, you know, nutrition practices, within nutrition programs, and incorporating them into, like, larger healthcare organizations like hospitals. For example, have you heard of SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition
Yes.
Assistance Program? Yeah. So, or, you know, for our audience, formerly known as the food stamps program. But I work with SNAP Ed agencies and WIC agencies, school wellness programs, and even, like, nutrition pantry programs. Again, to help, you know, bring awareness to the role of trauma, adversity, and how that can impact health and health outcomes. But again, also, you know, now that we, you know, the people might have that awareness, it's like, what do we do with it? So I help facilitate the process and kind of help deliver the how on how we can start incorporating some of these trauma-informed best practices into, again, just the field of nutrition.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was going to say, sorry, also along that line too, I also do, like I mentioned earlier, work with worksite wellness programs, and with that, worksite wellness, just learning or helping people address like employee like burnout or fatigue, and just you know, fostering a resilient organization that can help support people, you know, through tough times, but also through, you know, challenging events that, you know, we've been facing as a society as a whole.
That's true. It's been a rough time to try to buy food right now.
Absolutely. It is.
And gas prices have also gone up exponentially, so that doesn't help.
But yeah, no, you make a really good point. I was actually just watching the news tonight and or last night, and they were just highlighting food banks in our area and just how much the demand has increased to where food banks are now having to purchase their own food because they're running out of food. So it is definitely challenging times for most of us, and you know, food is definitely part of that problem. Yeah. So
well, gas prices are starting to come down, so hopefully it won't be this big of an issue for this long.
I couldn't agree more.
Okay. What got you working with people with trauma? How did you?
Yeah. So that's another good question. So what got me into it? It was just, I mean, by chance, if I can say that, it's, I started working at the health department again, like 12 years ago, and that's when the idea, have you heard of ACEs, adverse childhood experiences?
Yes.
Okay. And like ACEs, but also positive childhood experiences. So I started learning about that research and the role of trauma, not only in nutrition, but just health in general. Again, I'm surrounded by so many different professions in the health department. So just hearing these different perspectives and how these ACEs, how these positive also experiences can influence health later on, was really impactful to what got me into just diving deeper into the research, as well as making it a, you know, a life passion to be able to help people, you know, with similar, having my own, you know, past experiences with adversity and trauma. So helping others who, you know, get through what I've experienced, and also working, how do I say, a lot of my work too at the health department, you know, is in communities that are less represented, may have a lack of access to nutritious foods or healthcare needs, might be, you know, working communities with higher levels of violence. So that kind of, you know, went, kind of supported what I was reading in the research and reading about ACEs, but just witnessing it firsthand and just seeing, you know, nutrition and it wasn't always a priority. Health isn't always a priority when you have other situations and stressors in your life, but also just learning how these stressors in the community actually can invoke or, you know, lead to, they can be traumatic experiences for many people. So it was, you know, what got me into it was, you know, just being surrounded by these ideas in the health department and then also working in the community and witnessing some of this stuff firsthand.
Okay. What are some adverse and trauma, well, in some ways, adversity and trauma impact food and eating behaviors? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so adversity and trauma, it can lead to, you know, a variety of different behaviors, health behaviors, including those that are dietary related. Adversity, you know, trauma can lead to disordered eating patterns, for example, such as, you know, yo-yo dieting or preoccupation with food or binge eating or even, you know, restricting food. Food is, in those cases, can be used as a coping mechanism, can be used as a way to just self-soothe, if you will, and to cope, you know, with struggles and that trauma. Further, you know, like we were just talking about with, you know, hunger, food insecurity, those experiences can lead to, you know, feast or famine mindset later in life. So the idea that like when food is available, eating as much as possible, because it's kind of been ingrained in your body and your brain that, you know, might not know, you know, not knowing where your next meal might come from. That might have been a childhood experience that then is ingrained in within you to that leads to those behaviors. Also, just trauma can really, it inhibits our, you know, our bodies and our brains, but it can take our thinking brain offline, right? So we can get into this survival mode to where we're not able to really access the part of the brain to fully engage in these higher level cognitive activities that are required, you know, with so many different, you know, food behaviors like meal planning, budgeting, food preparation, you know, planning, et cetera, et cetera. Like when we are under a trauma or when we're experiencing that adversity, sometimes we can't access that part of our brain that is needed to really carry out these healthy behaviors. And I'm thinking, you know, when it comes to trauma, you know, a common symptom is dissociation. So when we're, you know, not really tuning into our bodies and for years not tuning into our bodies, we may not really fully recognize hunger cues or, you know, fullness cues or even like thirst cues. So, you know, when we're not able to recognize when we're hungry or full, that can like lead to overeating or undereating, for example. And then, of course, you know, trauma and, you know, ACEs, adversity has been highly associated, you know, with many diet-related outcomes later in life, such as like heart disease, diabetes, you know, kidney disease, for example, which, you know, traditionally the focus is then just to treat, you know, provide, you know, the right nutrition, right food to help treat that. But that really ignores some of the, you know, foundational like root causes of some of that, of those food behaviors, to where it really takes a trauma-informed approach to really dig deeper into, you know, the whys, you know, why we eat the way we do, or the foods we, why we eat the foods that we do.
Okay. What is considered a balanced approach to nutrition?
Yeah, so I get asked that a lot, and really it comes down to just eating a variety of, you know, nutritious foods. You know, there's the food, you know, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, you know, protein foods, healthy fats, for example. It's enjoying a variety of nutritious foods, but also, you know, eating the foods that you really enjoy. So I don't ever recommend cutting out any type of food, like, especially if those foods are the ones that you truly enjoy. Like for me, you know, I like sweets. So rather than restrict or, you know, cut them out, you know, include those, you know, in moderation. But just, I advise people to not restrict, to not necessarily cut out the foods that they enjoy, and just, you know, find patterns that can be sustained, right? So, you know, what a diet that you can then do for the rest of your life versus just a temporary solution that's not sustainable. And then a big approach with people too is just learning to recognize and respond to hunger and fullness cues, and also helping people, you know, to balance blood sugar. So it's key to balance blood sugar levels, you know, eating a carbohydrate-rich food with a protein or fat-rich food, because this help can, you know, steady blood sugar, which, you know, when our blood sugar drops, or it's not steady, it's too high, this can lead to changes in our mood, changes in energy level, etc. So, you know, to sum it up, you know, eat a variety of foods, don't cut out any foods that you enjoy, you know, learning to recognize hunger and satiety, and then just focusing on balancing blood sugar levels.
Okay. What would be considered a healthy diet? But I think we pretty much went over this.
So what would be considered a healthy diet? So a healthy diet would be, you know, having balance. So balancing the right foods. So again, like I said, balancing blood sugar, eating the right foods to keep your blood sugar steady, but also incorporating the foods that you truly enjoy and not restricting any type of food. But yeah, eating, just a variety of carbohydrates, variety of protein, variety of fats.
Okay. What is the best advice you would give to a trauma victims out there?
The best advice I would recommend would be, to be patient with ourselves, to be kind with ourselves through this journey of self-care and journey of behavior change. I always say, it took years for us to develop, some unwanted or, potentially unhealthy coping strategies. We can't expect ourselves to just change overnight. Habits aren't changed overnight. So just be patient with yourself and be patient and kind with yourself, through the entire journey.
What should people who are listening do if they want more and more one-on-one help with nutrition?
Absolutely. So I just want to first say I don't currently do one-on-one type of counseling. However, people can reach out to me and I can get them in touch with people that do. But the type of support I provide is, more kind of organizational programs, systems level, but I can be reached at my website, which is habitstoheal.com. So HABITS, 2, and then HEAL.com.
Okay. Well, I guess anything else you would like to add?
I can't think of anything right now, but I do definitely appreciate you reaching out to me and this opportunity to share a little bit more about trauma and nutrition and trauma-informed nutrition care.
Okay. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Tune in next Thursday at 10 a.m. Always follow us on your favorite social media platform or on your favorite podcast. And if you have any questions or want to reach out, always go to rachelandrecovery.com, and we've got some new resource pages up, so check those out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.